And I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. We are delighted that you are here. I'm especially delighted that you're here because every time I looked at Facebook or saw somebody and I said I'd see you Sunday, they said, oh no, I'm not going to be here this Sunday. I'm not going to be here. Now everybody's gone to everywhere. So I didn't think there's going to be much of a crowd, so I don't have much of a sermon prepared. So we'll see how that works out. We are indeed delighted you're here. We're going to end our service a little differently. I want to give one word to our ushers. At the end of our service, we're going to carry this wreath to the front porch, and we're going to leave it there. So if two of you could decide who would help me carry that at the end. Normally on this day, we go out into the cemetery, but with the weather the way it is and the fact that it's very wet out there, we're going to conclude our Memorial Day service here in our sanctuary today. So in that regard, I want to share a couple of announcements at the beginning and before our worship today. One, I hope you'll read the many announcements that are in the bulletin. You'll note those, the things that are going on. There are several things we're going to be beginning, some next week, the Grief Share on June the 6th. If you would like to sign up, there's a sign up for that. If you would like to be a part of our Kentucky mission trip, and even if you didn't make our meeting, then we would still love to have you see David Acock, who is our team leader, and we can make that happen for you. And the long-awaited clothes collection is going to begin next Sunday. I don't know how many folks. Y'all must have lots of clothes because we have carried, I don't know how much, but I've had folks, are y'all ready to start taking clothes? We're ready to start taking clothes next Sunday. The trailer is going to be set up. We're just going to literally put them straight in the trailer. You'll see the dates of when we'll be collecting that on Sundays and Wednesdays. And you can bring those by, and we would certainly appreciate you doing that. So now is time to empty those closets if you need to get that out to us. And we would certainly appreciate you doing that. Hope you're already praying for Vacation Bible School. I did find out that the makeup game for our softball team is at 8 o'clock this Thursday evening. 8 o'clock this Thursday. And if we win one of two, we'll finish in first place this year. So I know there's always a crowd out there enjoying the ball game, and so please note that as well. Are there any other announcements that need to come before us? Thank you. That's the big one. And we're going to do that come rain or shine. Rain or shine, and we're going to move it inside. We postponed it because of weather last time. I haven't even seen that far out. But I really believe that next Saturday could be a life-changing moment for our church, because I am convinced that God moves in the midst of prayer. And I think having this concerted effort is a wonderful chance for us to do that. So if your class has already gotten something, we're going to have a way to travel. We're going to park over. I guess we're still going to park over at Deep River School, and we'll have some golf carts if walking is an issue. But we're going to have stations for you to come through and be a part of that. And I hope you will. I hope you'll take sometime between 9 and 12, come and go through those different stations and just pause for a time of our church coming together to pray together. I think it can be monumental. I know it can. I'm excited about it. And know you'll already plan to be here next Saturday, 9 to 12.
And it's graduation Sunday?
Is next Sunday, yes.
Yes.
What? Yes. Graduation Sunday is next Sunday. And I think we have 8 or 9 right now. I will say this, if you haven't told us about your graduate and you think we know, you don't know how well we think. You need to tell us, okay? Don't trust that. Don't trust that. I always hate it when I hear after, oh, my graduate didn't get. If you don't tell us, we are liable to drop that ball. We don't mean to. I found one on Facebook this week, so help us. Help us. And that would be greatly appreciated. Listen now as our choir calls us to our time of worship. Jesus said, he who has an ear, let him hear. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, may we tune our life to you this moment to hear all that you have to say. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Let's take our hymnals and turn to number 64. God will take care of you. Let's stand as we sing.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this church. We ask that you might be with us today as Gary brings the message. And if there's one here today, Father, who has not accepted you as their Lord and Savior, that today might be that day. Father, we thank you for all the veterans, all those that have gone and protected us and have given so much for us. Father, let us not forget your Son, Jesus, who gave the ultimate. Father, we ask that you bless these tithes, these offerings, so that it might further thy kingdom. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good morning. How are y'all doing? Good. Yeah. Are you excited to be here today? Good. Okay. Well, I have a quick question. I need y'all's help to tell me if you can hear this, okay? So, listen up. Y'all hear that? You heard it? You did? Y'all did? Okay. Could anyone not hear it? No? Yeah, I couldn't hear that. I don't know how y'all did. Okay, try again. Can you hear this? Anyone hear that one? No? Okay. Try again. What about that one? Y'all heard that? Okay. Good. So, in order to hear that, what'd you have to do? You had to what? Turn it up. What'd you use to hear it? Listen to the sound. And how do we listen? With our ears. That's right. Have y'all ever wondered why we have two ears and only one mouth? Have you ever wondered that? Do you think that means listening is important? Because we have two things to listen with, right? Yeah, so that maybe means it's more important than other stuff, right? Yeah. So what happens if we don't listen? Maybe you're, what? You won't hear, right? And then you won't know what to do. What if your mom or dad tells you to clean your room and you don't listen and you don't do it? What happens? Get in trouble, right? So we want to make sure we're listening. What helps us to be a good listener? Any ideas? Yeah, to listen to what they say. If they're talking, that means to listen, right? Do you think Jesus thought listening was important? Yeah, I do too. In the Bible, there are words that talk about listening and hearing over hundreds of times. And so to me, that seems like it's a pretty important thing that Jesus wants us to listen. And in the Bible, it says, whoever has ears, let them hear. So do y'all have ears? Yeah, so that means we got to listen. We got to use them. And we got to listen to what Jesus is saying to us. And I'm going to read a little passage out of James, the book of James, chapter 1, verse 19. And it says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. So what does quick to listen mean? Y'all have any idea of that? Maybe you listen really fast. So if you hear something, that means you gotta listen. Yeah? That's what Jesus told us to do. So we're told to be slow to anger and slow to speak. Remember how we talked about two ears and one mouth? We use our two ears to listen really fast and our mouth to be slow to speak. And that's what we're supposed to do. And when Jesus is talking to us, that's what we also have to do. So we got to be ready to hear when we're being told something, and we got to be ready to hear what Jesus is saying to us. Do y'all think you can be good listeners to Jesus? Yeah, I do too. So let's be good listeners to what Jesus is telling us, and to be respectful to our parents too by listening. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for each child here today, Lord, and the ones who aren't. I just pray your blessing over them and just pray that you would help us be good listeners to all that you're saying to us and all that's around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank y'all. See y'all next week.
We are celebrating Memorial Day, or memorializing those that have died in battle. We also have people that are currently serving in the military, some on the high seas. Hymn number 69 is also known as the Navy Hymn. So let's stand and remember those that are serving as we sing. 69.
Thank you.
invite you to look at the prayer concerns that are in our bulletin and share with you that the plans are right now that tomorrow morning they are going to be inducing labor on Miss Ashley Gornto. We want to keep her and her family lifted up. Ruth West will be having surgery this Tuesday. Sarah McGeehee will have a port placed in this week. We want to be remembering them. You see the name Janet Rigsby. That's Matt's mom. She's having knee replacement in Raleigh this week as well. We want to keep her lifted up. It's good to see Wayne with us and Debbie with us here today. And I want to continue to remember them. You see all the names that are on this list. All of them important to us. Important to God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, tomorrow is Memorial Day when we as a nation honor those who paid the supreme sacrifice by laying down their life for this nation, for our freedom, for our ability to come together to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we as a people of this nation, we are so humbled and so grateful. We ask, Lord, your blessing to be upon the families of those who are surviving, those that laid down their life for our freedom. We have a list before us of people, Lord, that we pray for. We are grateful for the gift of medicine, the gift of surgery, the gift of therapy, the gift that you give us, that indeed we are able to do even greater instruments that facilitate your healing than Jesus did when he walked on this earth. God, we pray for these that are anticipating procedures and surgeries, these that are dealing with difficult illnesses, these that are struggling. And Lord, we have a list of those that passed away between now and last Memorial Day. And Lord, when we normally go out to our cemetery, we are surrounded by so many who mean so much to us even now. And we are grateful for the tradition upon which we continue to build. And we continue to pray, Lord, for the families of those who've lost loved ones this past year and ask your blessing. And Lord, now as we continue to worship you, we are aware that there are storms in life that we must go through. And we are grateful, Lord, for your provision and your power and your peace in the midst of the storms. In Christ's name we pray. What a beautiful thought. Hold me in the hollow of your hand. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to John's Gospel. We're going to be reading the passage a little bit differently today. It's John chapter 8. We're going to be reading verses 31 through 47. Our focus today is on listening, and I've asked Rebecca and Andrew if they would read our scripture for us today in a different way. One is going to read the main passage, but the other is going to read the words that emphasize listening, hearing, how important that is. So as they lead us, either listen or follow along as we stand together to honor the reading of God's Word.
So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him,
"If you abide in my word,
you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?"
Jesus answered them,
"Truly, truly,
I say to you,
everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me.
Because my word finds no place in you. I speak
of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you
have heard from your father."
They answered him, "Abraham is our father."
Jesus said to them,
"If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has
told you the truth
that
I heard from God.
This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did," they said to him. "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God."
Jesus said to them,
"If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand
what I say?
It is because you cannot
bear to hear my word.
You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies,
he speaks out of his own character,
for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because
I tell the truth,
you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin?
If I tell the truth,
why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God
hears the words of God.
The reason why you do not
hear them
is that you are not of God."
May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? Lord, give us ears with our spirit to hear your voice. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, choir, for that beautiful song. And thank you, Rebecca and Andrew, for leading us in our reading today. I remember when my daddy would say, "Listen to me." The world changed when Daddy made that pronouncement. My focus immediately, whatever it was on, was no longer important to me. But hearing the next words that came from my father's mouth and understanding the severity with which he offered them was my focus. I'll ask a simple question. Are we listening to God? I'll even ask it on a more personal level. Am I listening to God? And challenge you to ask on that same level, am I listening to God? How many of us know there's a difference between hearing and listening? I have been in that conversation And it finally came to that point where the person was about to be through talking. And with confession, I must tell you, I had heard, but I had not listened. I didn't know what they had just said. Maybe I was thinking of what I was going to say next, or maybe my mind was wandering to my schedule or the next event, or maybe just out the window. I don't know. But it's often frustrating when you know someone's not listening, isn't it? Today, as we pause on this weekend, tomorrow, when we will recognize those who paid the supreme price for our nation's freedom, and also today, as we will remember those who went before us, the question is, are we listening? I love the story about the middle-aged man who was distraught over his wife's stubborn refusal to admit she had a hearing problem. Now, maybe there's someone here today that one of your spouses has a hearing problem. Please don't talk to my wife. One day in his frustration, he went to the family doctor and he said, "I'm trying to convince her to go get her hearing checked. She's not hearing well. I don't know what to do." And the doctor said, "Well, I'll tell you what you can do. You can do this. You can confirm it so easily. When you walk in, just very gently open the front door and walk in quietly, and in your normal voice, ask the question, 'What's for supper?' When you hear no reply, walk in a little further. Ask the question again, 'What's for supper?' When you still hear no reply, walk in to the kitchen door and ask the question, 'What's for supper?' And when you get no reply, walk right behind her and in her ear ask, 'What's for supper?'" The man thought, "Doctor, you're brilliant. That's just perfect. That'll work. That will absolutely convince her. I can tell her that I ask her over and over again." So he goes home, opens the door. "Honey, what's for supper?" No reply. He walks in a little further. "Honey, what's for supper?" No reply. The kitchen door. "Honey, what's for supper?" Still no reply. Finally, he walks right behind her and says, "Honey, what's for supper?" To which she replies, "For the fourth time, spaghetti is for supper tonight." I wonder today, who has a problem? Does God have a problem speaking? Has God become weak in 2016 and he no longer has anything to say? All of his rules, all of his suggestions, I'm not sure I could call them suggestions, all of his way of living life, is he having trouble speaking? Or maybe we think God's not listening. How many of us know there's a difference between hearing and listening? In verses 31 through 32 of our text, Jesus tells us that listening has gone lacking. He said, "If you abide in my words," abide. You understand that word, abide? Dwell there. Stay there. Concentrate there. Don't just walk by. Abide there. Stay there. Get there and stay. It's easy to hear the Word of God, but to abide in the Word of God, that's different. Half-hearted listening will often lead to half-hearted faith. In fact, I would suggest that half-hearted listening to God will lead to even less than half-hearted faith. Fast listening. I love that passage, and Beckett was right. We're to be quick to hear, but sometimes listening is more important than that, isn't it? Listening is deeper than that. Years ago, Charles Swindoll was writing a book about stress. The name of his book was Stress Fractures. And he talked about at this point in his career when his children were young that he had a very busy schedule. And Chuck Swindoll is known around the world. He's a national speaker. I can only imagine what a schedule he must be and must have. And he's the pastor of a very large church and a writer. And he was caught up in the busyness of the day. He goes on, and this is a quote from Swindoll. He says, "I was snapping at my wife and our children. I was choking down my food at mealtimes. I was feeling irritated at those unexpected interruptions through the day. Before long, things around our home started reflecting the pattern of my hurry-up lifestyle. It was becoming unbearable." He said, "I remember the changing moment." Oh, I pray today for some changing moments in our worship and in our lives. "I distinctly remember after supper one evening the words of our younger daughter, Colleen. She wanted to tell me something that had happened in her school that day. And she began hurriedly. She said, 'Daddy, I want to tell you something, and I'll tell you really fast.' And suddenly I realized her frustration. I answered, 'Honey, you can tell me, and you don't have to tell me really fast. You can say it slowly.' And Swindoll says, 'I'll never forget what she said. She said, 'Then, Daddy, listen slowly. Listen slowly.'" Brothers and sisters, we can get caught in the pace of this life and we won't listen slowly to God. And we won't hear how He already answers many of our questions, provides us the salve for many of our diseases, strengthens us with the nurture of His Word. Are we listening? "If you abide in my word," he says, "abide there each day." Oh, what kind of inventory if we were to maybe keep a log this week and just write down the number of times we talk to God. And then in the next column, how many times, how much time we set aside to listen to God. How many of us know there's a difference between hearing and listening? We must persevere in listening, abiding in those words. Jesus tells us we've got to stay with the truth. The truth is there and it'll set us free, but we can't just walk by the truth. We can't just say, "I've got a book that's got the truth in it." We've got to abide there. Oh, to slow down and listen to God. Have you decided to slow down in how much you hear God? Did one day in your devotion say, "God, I've been talking to you for a while, but I'm going to take a few months off, God. I'm not talking to you anymore. I'll get back to you when I need you. But right now, my schedule, God, you see my schedule. God, I'm just way too busy. I'll get back to you. I'll get back to you, God. Don't worry. Everything's okay. I'll just get back to you later." None of us would say that. Some of us are old-fashioned enough to believe lightning bolts might come our way. But do we live like that? Are we persevering in our listening to God? What happens when we don't hear God clearly? What happens when the answer God comes back with is not the answer we want to hear? Are we willing to listen to God? We don't purposefully decide to quit listening, do we? I don't think so. We just get busy or distracted or frustrated or disappointed or angry or influenced by something else. How many of us know there's a difference between hearing and listening? Persevering in listening to God. You remember those bracelets that were so popular a few years ago? WWJD. What would Jesus do? I want to start a new fad. Do we have an entrepreneur here? I think it's theologically better than that. My bracelets are going to be WDJD. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? And maybe the bracelet for the other arm would be our WDJS. What did Jesus say? You see, when we abide in God's Word and we stay where God's Word is taking us and we live there, we don't have to wonder so much about what would Jesus do when we recognize what Jesus has already done. When we study what the Bible teaches us, then we know what we're supposed to do. Our homes, our discipleship homes, not just Christian homes, our discipleship homes. How many of us know there's a difference between listening and hearing? Our discipleship homes must be a place of listening. In San Francisco, some years ago, by a study done by Jim Reepson of Homemade, in an article he wrote, he interviewed teenage prostitutes, young girls, many of them, most of them, who had run away from home or been kicked out of their homes in San Francisco. And they asked one question: is there anything you needed most you couldn't get? Is there anything you needed the most that you couldn't get when you were at home? And their response, invariably, with tears and sadness and unanimously, was, what I needed most was somebody to listen to me. Someone who cared enough to listen. To listen. I wonder today, in a world where everybody that's sitting in this place and the one who's standing, we've all made mistakes. We've all messed up. You ever started a sentence with, well, I thought you said? Listening. Listening to God. Then we can listen to others. Moms and dads, when we listen to God, then we can listen to our children in a way that will nurture them, that they will grow up to be the sons and daughters of Almighty God. Our homes must be a place of listening. He goes on in that passage to tell us about sin. He reminds us that we were slaves to sin. In verse 34, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits a sin is a slave to sin. Homes need to be places of confession. In the last passage, he brings us back to that idea of listening to the Lord each day. In verses 45 through 47, he says, but because I tell the truth, you don't believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? And there's none. If I tell the truth, and he did, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you don't hear them is that you're not of God. It's a powerful judgment. It's a powerful statement. How many of us know there's a difference between hearing and listening? Listening to God. It is an important thing for us to understand. You know, it's hard to listen today. In an article written by Robert Herron, he asked this question. He said, good listening is like tuning in a radio station. For good results, you can only listen to one station at a time. Trying to listen to my wife while looking over an office report is like receiving two radio stations at the same time. You ever had that? I listen to a lot of AM. And at times at night, AMs, as you're riding, they'll bleed over. All of a sudden, there'll be that moment where you've got two stations that have the same number, and you're right there on their border, I guess. And suddenly, you can't understand anything. And I've done this because, you know, a lot of what I listen to is stories on the radio and channels that do that kind of thing. And maybe someone's telling them, maybe I'm listening to a sermon on a radio station, and they're right in the middle of that sermon, and all of a sudden that other station starts bleeding in. And I'm sitting there trying to listen through, you know, to hear Chuck Swindoll while, you know, Prince is singing. You go try that one time. That's an exciting challenge. And yet, that's the challenge, isn't it? That's it. That's our struggle, you and mine and me. That's what we struggle against. Our homes, they must be a place where listening to God is modeled. Each day, every day. How long? As long as possible. How many of us know there's a difference between hearing and listening to God? I started and I end with this question. Are we listening to God? Are we in our sinful condition abiding in the Word and hearing the Word of God? Today, will we commit to listen more carefully and more often to our God? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in this moment, maybe your Spirit has spoken to our heart and we recognize, Lord, we're not listening. Maybe it's been a long time since in our prayer we just paused in your presence and we're still to recognize that you are our God. Help us to listen slowly, but be quick to hear. Help us to listen often, each day, every day. Help us to recognize that over and over you challenged us, he who has an ear, let him hear. And Lord, when you spoke to John in the book of Revelation, you added to that, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Lord, help us to tune out the radio stations of this world. We don't try to do holy and secular side by side in such a way that we don't really participate in either one. You know the need of every heart. You know every decision that were it to be made today in this moment of worship and this time of decision, that it would change a heart and it would change a home and it could change a community. And God, give us boldness to recognize there's a difference between hearing and listening. And may we listen to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is page 65, Jesus When I Need Him Most, page 65. This morning, if God's calling you to make some decision, public or private, I would invite you to do so as we stand together. Would you be seated, please?
Memorial Day, 2016. Our nation has set this time apart that we as a people can remember those that have paid the supreme sacrifice. But as our tradition here at Flat Springs, we do a little more than that. We try to remember those who've gone on before, whether military or not military. We also do a special salute to our military, and we do a special salute to those that have passed on this year in our church. We have 385 individuals that are buried here at Flat Springs. What we are and what we are become is highly dependent upon the legacy that these people left for us, and we honor them today. We have 54 veterans that are known to be buried here at Flat Springs. As you go out today, please note the small flags that have been placed at each of these veterans. These veterans have a history that you wouldn't believe if you would read their service. We have veterans from the Civil War all the way up to Vietnam. Names to them would be very familiar, like Chateau Thierry, Pearl Harbor, Okinawa, North Africa, Normandy, Bastogne, Remagen Bridge, Soh Linchon, even Vietnam, Asha Valley. All these men and women serve there and serve well. We honor them today here at Flat Springs in the sacrifice that they made for us as a nation. As I said, we do remember those who passed away in our church this year, and I will read those names at this time. Dwayne Smith died June 17, 2015. Maddie Capps died July 14, 2015. Willard West died July 16, 2015. Althea Harris died July 19, 2015. Gail S. Bridges died August 13, 2015. Pat S. Smith died September 10, 2015. Betty Hurley died October 30th. 2015. Foster Mason died December the 16th, 2015. Prentice R. Jackson, January the 26th, 2016. Nona Ann Dalrymple, February the 11th, 2016. Frank Fashee Sr., March the 11th, 2016. Frank Fashee Jr., March the 22nd. 2016. We honor their memory today here at Flat Springs and the legacy that they have left us as God's people.
The Psalms give us these words: give justice to the weak and the fatherless, maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. Give justice to the weak and the fatherless. Maintain the right of the afflicted and the destitute. But then there's a promise in Psalms. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. He shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. And you might ask, in how a world that could be done? Through the gift of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who in John's Gospel, the 15th chapter, says this: greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. As we honor those that died in battle for our nation's freedom, we are indeed grateful. as we remember those that have helped us build Flat Springs Baptist Church, we are grateful. And our hope is in that gift that Christ gave, that He laid down His life, that we might have life and have it everlasting. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are grateful for our nation. We are grateful as family with sometimes heavy hearts for some of the decisions, but grateful nonetheless. And Lord, not only do we pause now to thank You for those that paid the supreme sacrifice, but for all those who served and are serving to keep our nation free. And Lord, our prayer is that we might indeed bless You, that You might indeed bless us. And God, when we think of these that we have read that have gone on to be with You, we do so with heavy hearts, and yet with that hope that because You laid down Your life for us, there will be a day. There will be a day. And for that day, we are most grateful. Lord, would You go with us now from this place? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My prayer is that we would leave today in God's peace and in His power and in His abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of His people. I'm going to invite you in just a second to stand. I'm going to invite the ushers to come and take this wreath, and they'll place it on the porch. And while we are doing that, we're going to be playing taps. Would you stand with me, Donnie? Yes.
Yes, sir. Don't.